Good afternoon. I'd like to call this meeting the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order at 1:33 p.m. We're in Belts, room 105 of the Thomas Stewart Building in the nation's most beautiful capital city of Juneau, Alaska. Today is Wednesday, March 12, 2025. Members present are Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Merrick, Senator Yunt, and myself, Senator Bjorkman. Senator Dunbar will be along shortly. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please turn off our silencers or cell phones. I'd like to extend an especially warm Labor and Commerce welcome to our recording secretary, Carrie Tupo, and our LAO moderator, Marnie Provost. We have three items on our agenda today. First up is Senate Bill 54. Extend the Board of Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors, Register Interior Designers. Then Senate Bill 24, Tobacco, Nicotine, E-Cigarette, Age, E-Cigarette Tax. Last on our agenda today will be Senate Bill 55, TRS contribution rate, PERS or PERS slash TERS Social Security or SBS. First up, we have Senate Bill 54. This is our fourth hearing on this bill. During previous meetings, we heard a presentation of the bill, took invited and public testimony. In our last meeting, we adopted three amendments and set the bill aside for further consideration. No additional amendments have been received by my office. Are there any questions for the sponsor of the bill's staff, Ms. Serena Hackemiller? Hearing and seeing none, Senator Merrick, may I have a motion?
Thank you, Chair Bjorkman. I move to report Senate Bill 54, version 34-LS0044/India, as amended from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Is there any objection? Hearing and seeing none, Senate Bill 54, version 34-Lima Sierra 0044/I, as an icicle, as amended, is reported from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. We'll take a brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. Back on the record, it's 1:37 p.m. here in Belts, room 105. Next up, we have Senate Bill 24, tobacco slash nicotine slash e-cigarette age, e-cigarette tax. This is our third hearing on the bill. In prior meetings, we heard a presentation of the bill, took invited and public testimony, and set an amendment deadline for last Wednesday. We received two amendments, and those have been combined into committee substitute in members' packets. May I have a motion, please?
Yes, Chair Bjorkman. I move committee substitute for Senate Bill 24, version 34-LS0260/India, as the working document.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. My staff, Conrad Jackson, will explain the changes in this CS.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Conrad Jackson, staff to Senator Bjorkman and the Labor and Commerce Committee. Give me one moment to find all my pieces of paper spread throughout this binder. Mr. Chairman, CS for Senate Bill 24, version I, makes really three substantive changes to the bill. You'll find early on it first makes a change which would retain the status quo when it comes to shipping or transporting cigars or pipe tobacco into the state. This new language can be found on page 8, line 39, I'm sorry, 29 through 31. Secondly, language on page 9, lines 14 through 19, is deleted to remove the requirement that a recipient provide a copy of their identification to the common carrier or contract carrier prior to delivery. Thirdly, on page 15, line 9 of the CS, the cap of 50 milligrams of nicotine in a vape product is changed to 70 milligrams. In addition to those three substantive changes, there are some conforming changes in the CS as well.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Are there questions from committee members? I have a couple of questions. When it comes to pipe tobacco and cigars, the law, the bill as it sat before the CS would have affected those. Can you just describe that effect that this bill would have had on pipe tobacco and cigars?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, as I understand it, currently tobacco, cigars, and pipe tobacco are maybe imported, maybe sold in the state, and are not subject to licensing and taxes. What the current language in the CS would do is maintain that status quo. If we do not adopt that, we're adding that in to other, similar to other tobacco tax or other tobacco products.
Very well. And what is the rationale in the CS from changing the cap on nicotine from 50 to 70 milliliters?
Well, currently, Mr. Chairman, we have a number of products out there in the marketplace that are made by, I guess people could argue, reputable manufacturers that do have limits or have nicotine quantities higher than 50 milligrams. The concern is that it would, by reducing the or setting the cap at 50 milligrams, we may actually create a black market for those products from maybe less reputable manufacturers who don't take the time to mark their packages with the actual content, the nicotine content of their product. So the concern is basically creating a black market or an opportunity for a black market.
Very good. Thank you. Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Jackson, I don't know if you're the right person to answer this or where exactly this amendment came from, but going back to the pipe tobacco, cigar and pipe tobacco amendment, you know, one of the main justifications for a tobacco tax to exist is to offset the health impacts that tobacco imposes on the on society. And that's one of the reasons we're doing this as well, even if you think that there are fewer health impacts from vaping versus tobacco or from cigarettes. But why not apply the tobacco tax on pipe and cigar tobacco? I mean, they are also harmful, you know, and I don't know if they are more or less harmful than cigarettes, but I guarantee you that they're associated with lung cancer and the like. So why not have this other tobacco tax apply? Is there some other tax that's capturing them and they'd be double tax, or is it the case that right now they do not have taxes on them, those two products?
Through the chair, Senator Dunbar, as I understand it, the cigars and pipe tobacco are not lumped in with the same taxing structure as the OTP, other tobacco products, or cigarettes. So the attempt is to just maintain the status quo, and obviously a policy call of the committee and of the legislature whether to add those products into the tax structure from the Department of Revenue.
Can I ask the chair then? What, or I don't know, is there anyone else that can speak to this amendment?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, thank you for the
choice.
Thank you for the question, Senator Dunbar. As we look at the history of this bill and making sure that we have a package in place going forward that is focused on e-cigarettes and vaping and really the danger I think that e-cigarettes and vapes pose to our young people, I think it is prudent to move forward a bill that is going to address those things that our youngest people are most vulnerable to. They are bringing this stuff to school. They are becoming addicted at a very young age because it's readily available to them and relatively inexpensive. With the tax in place, we discourage the use of vaping products for young people. And if we are not taxing all of the FDA-approved devices and systems that young kids can get their hands on to vape, then I think we do create a black market for those products. I didn't want to include pipe tobacco and cigars in this bill moving forward because I don't think that is the major thrust of the bill. When I think about this bill and the purpose and the rationale as to why it's needed, it is most needed to discourage youth from vaping and using e-cigarettes. And so that's why those changes were made.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions? Hearing and seeing none, I'll remove my objection. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 24 version. I'm sorry. Briefies. Back on the record. Is there any further committee discussion on Senate Bill 24? Hearing and seeing none, Senator Merrick may have a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move to report committee substitute for Senate Bill 24, version 34-LS0260/India from committee with individual recommendations and 8 attached fiscal notes.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, committee substitute for Senate Bill 24, version 34, Lima Sierra 0260/I as in Iliamna, is reported from committee with individual recommendations and 8 attached fiscal notes. We'll take a brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. Back on the record here in Senate Labor and Commerce. It is 1:49 p.m. Up next, we have Senate Bill 55, TRS Contribution Rates, PERS, TERS, Social Security, or SPS. This is our second hearing on this bill. During our first hearing on the bill on February 12th, we heard a presentation of the bill by the sponsor, as well as his staff. Today it is my intention to hear a brief recap of the bill if the committee desires, and then take up one amendment on this bill. With us today we have bill sponsor staff Rose Foley. I mentioned earlier to Ms. Foley that she did not have to recap the bill unless the committee wanted a review. Would you like a recap of the bill?
No, thank you.
Okay. Ms. Foley is standing by with any questions we might have. Hearing no questions from the committee, at this time I'll open public testimony on Senate Bill 55. Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify to this item? I don't see anyone online. At this time, I'll hold public testimony open until our next hearing on the bill, and I will close it, just in case folks do want to comment in the future. Members have one amendment in their packets. May I have a motion, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment A alpha dot 3 to Senate Bill 55.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I don't seem to have a copy of that amendment. Are there additional copies available?
Take a briefing, yes. Back on the record, 1:52 p.m. Everyone should have a copy of the amendment A.3. Senator Merrick, may I have a motion?
Brief at ease.
I apologize. Lost our spot. We're back on track now. My staff, Conrad Jackson, will explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Conrad Jackson, staff to Senator Bjorkman and the Labor and Commerce Committee. The amendment before you, A.3, deletes Section 1 and 2 from SB 55, which had proposed to increase the required individual retirement account contributions by employers. The amendment further amends AS 3930-150 by adding new subsections which lay out the payment of the employer and employee contributions to the system. Specifically, for the first 3 years of participation, the department, DEED, Department of Education and Early Development, shall pay 100% of the employer's and the employee's required contribution for participation in the supplemental retirement system. During the fourth through the seventh years of participation, the department shall pay 66 2/3% of that required contribution. And for the following 3 years, the department shall pay 33 1/3% of the required contribution. Following that 2037 time period, June 30th of 2037, the employers and employees shall be responsible for their respective contributions in whole. There's also a change at the end of the bill that was caught by Ms. Foley. I appreciate that. And we changed the effective date from 2026 to 2027, which will match with the timing of that stepped payment plan. Otherwise, what would happen is members would become participants in the program, would for 1 year be required to pay 100% of their respective contributions, and then we would enter into this stepped, phased payment plan. So the plan was to, as the program began, start immediately with the department paying 100% of that contribution.
Thank you very much for that explanation, Mr. Jackson. Are there any questions from committee members? Hearing and seeing none, I will remove my objection. Is there further objection? Hearing none, Amendment A.3 is adopted. Is there any committee discussion on the bill itself? I have a couple of notes. My goal with the amendment that we just adopted, as well as further consideration of this bill, is to make sure that it is apparent to the public and all the stakeholders involved about what the cost of this bill will mean for school districts across the state. Certainly, as the legislature has expectations for school districts to do many things, the legislature doesn't always produce clear fiscal notes about what costs other entities might have to bear as a result of policy decisions that we as a legislature make. My goal is, through this stepped approach, to at least initially make it very clear to everybody involved what the cost is to school districts of them potentially undertaking entrance into the supplemental benefit system, and then what that experience would be like for school districts and employees, as they would have less cash available to them in their paychecks, and then would be putting that into savings. And in the same way, school districts would be required to put their spendable cash that they could use educating other students into a retirement savings account for their current employees. So we're going to continue considering and making sure we have this close to right before we move the bill. I have one other amendment idea that I'm considering and going to take on, and then hope to move this bill as soon as possible. But I appreciate members taking a look at this and considering this as we talk about other things that we can do for retirement options and trying to establish what those other retirement options cost up front. So that's my rationale for this bill moving forward. Any further discussion? The Senate Labor and Commerce Committee will meet again on Friday, March 12th, when we will hear Senate Bill 89, Physician Assistance and Scope of Practice, as well as Senate Bill 96, Child Care Tax Credits. As there is no further business to come before the committee, we are adjourned at 1:57 p.m.